And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Welcome in, you beautiful Bucks fanatics, to the podcast that bleeds pewter and red. RBLR Bucks, this ain't your grandma's football talk. This is the unfiltered, unapologetic, all gas, no breaks breakdown of our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And what up, y'all? Musab here, one of your co-hosts. We are just a few short hours away from some real action, less than 100 hours. I think I checked earlier today. I think it was like 78 hours, so I'm going to say maybe 70-something. So, hey, look, I know it's the preseason, but listen, it's regular season all the time here at RBLR, all right? So do yourselves a favor and also check out our other RBLR teams holding it down across the bay, you know, covering our beloved baseball team, our soccer team, and our hockey team. But let's get into it. Today's episode, well, we got some spicy news going on in the Bucks world. You feel me? We're diving deep into the trenches, getting to the bottom of the depth chart. We got some classic Bucks love coming your way, all right, listeners? But before we get into it, as always, a reminder, we need to hear from you. All right, we love that you keep tuning in, but for real, tell us how you feel. No statement is a bad statement unless ye be slandering our legends, Mike Evans or Bucky Irving. But now for the crew, listen up. My two co-hosts are here, and they're bringing the heat every single time. These two are the heart and soul of the defense. Our big backers who fly all over the field and lay the wood. They got instincts of a Hall of Famer and the motor of a rookie on a mission. Think, you know, 2020, 2021 Super Bowl season. So just because I know he's a huge fan of this guy. Coming in hot like Devin White, Mr. Zach Blaine.
Look, I know I've missed a few shows lately. And I am in a contract dispute right now, but oh man, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I always got a running back with, you know, iconic duos from Super Bowl teams or whatever. And I know we feel different about him now, but Devin White's Super Bowl season, well, he was a dog. You know, that's why I got him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, of course, man. I'm not talking about Texans Devin White, man. Come on.
It's Raiders.
Oh, great, man. Before you know it, it's going to be, you know, the San Antonio Brahmas. Mm-hmm. Devin White. No. I wish him all the best, man. But
I don't.
Zach, this – this. Well, as you know, Zach, this final puzzle piece is missing our iconic third piece to this, RBLR Three Musketeers. He's coming in hot like Levante David. He's still got it, no matter how old or no matter how young he is. Mr. Carter Brantley, what's the good word?
Oh, man, nothing much. I appreciate being labeled Levante David, even though, you know, this past season, we'll talk about it. But, we're also talking about linebackers, in case you couldn't tell by Musab's wonderful intro. We'll be talking about linebackers at the end of our episode. But got some injury news for the Bucks to get to first. But before we get into all that, if it's your first time here, welcome. We hope you enjoy the show. We're always talking Bucks stuff. So definitely hit that like and subscribe button if you would like to keep up to date. And also give us a follow at RBLR Sports across social media. We're always posting content, like Musab said, across our channel, across sports for Tampa Bay. Give us a follow out on YouTube, whatever the case may be. We'd really appreciate it. But we'll get right into it. We'll start with the Bucks news. Like Musab said, Saturday, it's kickoff. I think Saturday, right, 7:30. They're playing the Titans week one of preseason. Not regular season, like Musab said. It's not exactly all stakes or anything. But is there any reason that y'all are going to tune in to watch other than maybe just like football, you know, like football is back? Musab, are you going to be tuning into the game, or maybe you're having it on in the background? What are you excited for the Saturday's game at all?
I am. Yeah, I'm not going to say I'm all, you know, going berserk and all that. But, yeah, I'm going to be tuning in. I want to watch the rookies. Am I going to watch the whole game? I would like to, but it's just depending on the vibes, I guess. You know what I'm saying? If it's like a boring, you know, turnover heavy game, right. I'll probably play it in the background. But I am hoping for just, you know, a couple, you know, flashes, you know, from our rookies. That's what I'm hoping for, because I know it's week one, so it's for them, it's especially our rookies, you know,
the rest of our unsigned free agents. It's a big moment. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yes, it's their introduction to Raymond James Stadium at the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I would definitely enjoy seeing maybe Ibuka play like a series or two. That'd be cool. Although he's also maybe going to be the starting slot receiver to start the year, depending on Chris Godwin's injury, which no real good updates there. I don't know that they expect him to be ready by week one. That's kind of up in the air. But regardless, yeah, I'm with you. I think there's going to be some fun stuff to watch, including some guys we'll talk about in the depth chart. They've released their first unofficial depth chart or first official depth chart. I can never remember. But their first depth chart was released, whether it's official or not. But yeah, so we can talk about that a little bit. But injury news – or Mr. Blaine, before we move on, is there anything we didn't talk about with the preseason game that you want to look out for?
I mean, you nailed it right on the head. I want to see our rookies, but I don't want to see Ibuka. I want to see our corners.
I want to see how they play.
And then some of the depth pieces, like backup quarterback, another piece of news I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit. But
great segue.
I imagine he won't be playing the first game, considering he just got signed.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Kind of
considering he was also a high school football coach last year.
He came back. Anyway, I think the biggest part for me is seeing how Kyle Trask does, knowing now that there's heat on him, because up until now, there's never really – he hasn't been at risk of being let go or not being on the team. But I think there's some heat on him now. That contract's not too big to get him out of. Like, we already know he's not going to be – he's a – bust in our draft stock. So I think that this is going to be interesting to see kind of where he's at.
Yeah. And looking back on that draft class specifically, that was a tough draft class to respond to that Super Bowl win. Not great. But you know, it happens. You're going to swing and miss a lot in the draft. And sometimes you swing and miss on every single pick, which is sort of what they did. But that's all right. So in case you are living under a rock or you didn't pick up what Zach was putting down, Teddy Bridgewater is with the Tampa Bay Bucks. He is there going to compete at the very least for the backup quarterback position, if not already kind of a lock. I'm sure that he did not agree to a contract with the Bucks without at least some assurances that he would have, I don't want to say an edge, but he would very much kind of have a fast track to that backup quarterback position. So I'm excited for that. Some bad news. David Walker tore his ACL, out for the year. Not super great. Was kind of excited to see if he would maybe try to push some guys in that edge room, but unfortunately we won't get to see it. So kind of a bummer, but, you know, it happens. And maybe he'll just kind of redshirt this year and you know, maybe he'll come out swinging in his second season in the pros. So we'll see. But David Walker and Teddy Bridgewater, sort of the big news from this past week, as well as the first depth chart being released. I had a few questions because, you know, there's kind of some interesting position battles that we'll maybe get to in future weeks. But Servacié Dennis over Anthony Walker, that was sort of where I scrolled to first. Because that's in my mind, that's the most contended starting position, at least. Other than maybe wide receiver three, but you know, even that, it's kind of weird with the Chris Godwin stuff. So what are y'all's thoughts? Do you think this sticks? Do you think maybe they're giving Servacié Dennis some run because, hey, we drafted him? Zach, I'll start with you, man. You're probably the biggest Servacié Dennis fan out of all three, although I like him a lot too. But
I think that he has shown flashes when he's in. Last year, we lost him essentially all year, if I'm not mistaken.
Unfortunately.
I think that he is their Lavonte David replacement. So I understand having him get playing time next to Lavonte David, or, you know, I think that this might be him kind of taking the reins from Lavonte David. And I don't think that means Anthony Walker doesn't play, because I was kind of surprised to see it a little bit, but also we've got draft stock in him. So I'm not surprised in that aspect, because we want to see what we've got. If he sucks, then Anthony Walker will come in and play more games than he expected to play, I think is my thought on it.
For sure. Yeah. You're in that NBA mentality.
Exactly.
Right. That's a great point. Jason Light loves his guys, you know, he drafts guys and then he kind of gives them a shot, for better or for worse. you know, it can sometimes kind of come back to bite the Bucks, but, they're definitely, I'm with you. I think they're definitely going to kind of let him have a runway, and then if it works out, cool. But if it doesn't, you know, they do have that Anthony Walker backup. But Mustafa, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on Servacié Dennis taking the reins at the linebacker two spot so far?
I mean, I don't make too much of it. I mean, Zach took the words out of my mouth. I mean, we've seen what Servacié Dennis can do. And I feel like, yeah, you know, especially with him having draft stock, minus Levante David, I mean, who the hell else do we have? I really don't know these other names, you know, to be right. honest. So it's kind of like it's that this is your year, Servacié Dennis, to see, you know, and step up and, you know, show us what you got. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's kind of just a little back and forth battle between him and Anthony Walker. But I feel like Anthony Walker is also just, you know, also a good kind of, you know, insurance. If things don't work out with Servacié Dennis, at least we got Anthony Walker to hold it down. But yeah, I don't make too much of it just yet. I feel like it's kind of just, I'm hoping for the best, but because I mean, there's only so much we've seen with Servacié Dennis. So I'm optimistic, but a little cautious.
Yeah, cautiously optimistic. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was such a position of just a revolving door. Like whoever was lining up to Levante David was someone different every week, it felt like. They even tapped into the USF reservoir. Good Lord, that's not a good sign when that's happening. So, you know, it was definitely a tough position last year. And hopefully Servacié Dennis or Anthony Walker, regardless of who it is, whoever it ends up being, can provide a little bit more stability. Because, yeah, that was a tough position last year for sure. But then we get to the rookies because there was you know, there was a couple of kind of weird ones, like Elijah Roberts was the third string defensive lineman way down behind Logan Hall, which I thought was interesting. I was kind of excited, hopeful that he could compete a little bit more for that starting spot. But it's also the first step chart. You know, I'm kind of overreacting here a little bit. And then Emeka Abuka was wide receiver four. Again, it's kind of weird with the Chris Godwin thing. But so those are kind of the two rookie things. Are y'all surprised by that? Or is it kind of, it seems like kind of an NFL tradition to sort of just like put the rookies down and then just kind of make them earn their keep, so to speak. Musa, what are your thoughts on these rookies and their depth chart spots?
Yeah, this is like, I don't make too much of it. I mean, it's rookies, you know, right. You kind of just have to have them earn it. But I have to ask you guys, did we ever see Adam Gotsis on the field? Because I'm like, I just gotta say, even if I've never seen Elijah Roberts, I'm drafting a guy and I've never seen Adam Gotsis.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know, but it's probably just like whatever, you know. Just shut up, right. Rookie. You're a rookie. Just, you know, exactly. You're a third stringer right now. Whatever, you'll earn it. It's just, I don't know. Who knows? You know, yeah. it's still season of the interns,
for sure.
You know. Maybe the intern, you know, got the name switched up and all that, you know. I don't know.
Maybe Adam Gostis can be our new Tyreek Thunderbird, you know. I don't know.
Maybe yeah, that's the point.
Maybe that's the new because every year.
But like we saw Thunderbird though. I'm sure he got a rep in or something. Anyways, we don't need to go in on Adam Gostis right now, but just piggybacking off of you with Elijah Roberts, that was the only thing that caught my eye.
For sure. But, you know, we at RBLR, I feel like we adopt like a random every year. You know, it's 2 years ago, it was D. Delaney. Last year, Tyreek Thunderbird. And this year,
I forgot about D.
Yeah. Maybe this year it'll be Adam Gossett. I never forgot about D. Delaney. He is on my mind constantly.
I was going to say, I think that he lives rent free in Carter's head.
Yeah. I was going to say, I bring up D. Delaney way too much for a normal, healthy human being, but that's okay. Zach, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on these rookies? Like, I don't want to call it hazing, but like maybe it's kind of like
I look at it and I'm like, oh wow, okay, yeah. So you're exactly right. But we've got Jake Majors as the second center over Sua Ojeda, which also I thought he was a guard/tackle.
Right, and yeah.
Sua Ojeda is now third string center. There's a lot that weirds me out about this, like having Devin Culp technically as other, like he's not even first, second, or third string. He's other when realistically he's our second best tight end and we've not seen him. So it's, I'm not sure what to make of it, but you know, yeah, the wide receivers, I think it's, the wide receiver depth chart is kind of exactly how I expected it. Seeing Tez Johnson up there as a second string guy makes me happy.
That's cool. Yeah, I was very excited about that as well.
So I don't know what you would call him, wide receiver. I don't know if he'd be six or if he's just theoretically wide receiver, slot receiver too. Like, I don't know what we call it, but.
Yeah, we could call him the gadget guy, you know, like the NCAA.
Okay. Probably going to return kicks.
Sure, yeah.
Absolutely. So, actually, we can look at kick returner, can't we? Oh, no, kick returners Sean Tucker and Trey Palmer. Punt returners Trey Palmer and Tez Johnson. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe it's a slowly working way. Yeah. Work his way into that role.
I think.
But I had one – I did want to ask, because you mentioned the wide receiver room, which is super deep, probably the deepest the room has ever been for the Bucs, question mark? I don't know, but they have
– just one of the deepest rooms ever.
Yeah, arguably, yeah, one of the deepest rooms – definitely the deepest room in the NFL this year. It's really, really fantastic to watch. But the cornerback group, my goodness, like they've got five guys that I wouldn't mind seeing start. You know, like last year it was kind of like Breece Hall was their third string and it was like, eek, you know, after that it was rough. But Zach, I wanted to throw this right back at you because you're a resident cornerback guy. And how excited are you? Because like this is kind of fun, you know?
I think I'm less optimistic than you are. Okay. I don't see five guys that I'd be okay with starting.
Really?
I see three in Benjamin Morrison, Jacob Parrish, and Zion McCollum.
Oh.
Who your other two, Carter?
Well, but, Jamel Dean and Breece Hall are like
– Breece Hall.
Breece Hall.
Breece Hall for running back. Yeah, it happens back. Every time. It's okay.
Yes, y'all are going to have to correct me every time. But I'm okay with both of them starting.
As a starter, I mean, as backup, it's the deepest our cornerback room has been in years. I will give that to you. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Zion McCollum, I'm not sold on him. He had a really good first half of the year.
Right, fell off
pretty low hard. Average second half of the year. Yeah. Jamel Dean can't get an interception to save his damn life. Can't stay healthy. Benjamin Morrison has looked really, really good in training camp.
Yeah.
Jacob Parrish has looked really, really good. Breece Hall, honestly, have not really heard much about him. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Sure.
No news is good news.
Right.
At time. 100%, yeah. But outside of that, yeah, I think Zion, Benjamin, and Jacob are the only three that I'm like, I want those three to start. I'm happy with them starting.
Yeah.
But Jamel Dean is good depth.
Okay, yeah. I do think saying I'm happy with any of them starting is probably like that might be too far. I think
you're comfortable with them starting.
Yes, 100%. Like I'm not like white knuckling, like oh my god, what's about to happen kind of thing. Where I very much felt like that at points last year. Like it was very.
I felt
much,
like that all year.
Yeah, like who the heck is out there? You know, like what are like you know like oh. Josh Hayes, like God bless him, but like he should not be, you know, playing in a meaningful NFL snaps at outside corner. So it was just even if Hall or Morrison or any of these other guys aren't great, like I'm not like having a mental breakdown about like what the heck's going to happen with this pass defense. But Musab, how about you? Maybe you're kind of in the middle of me and Zach. Maybe you're kind of like, well, you know, they're not bad, but they're also not great. Like how are you feeling about this cornerback room?
I'm rocking with it. I'm not super ecstatic that, oh my God, you know, we got the best of the best and all that, but right, yeah. I have nothing, but I am extremely happy. First of all, that we got Benjamin Morrison and Jacob Parrish, and happy to, you know, I have seen footage and I've seen, you know, seen some tape of them, you know, getting some action in. So, I'm just hoping for the best. The only thing is it's just, injuries are bound to happen, especially what Zach was mentioning with Jamel Dean. I mean, then,
yeah.
From what I've seen from Benjamin Morrison, I would be totally fine with him just, you know, coming in and, you know, wouldn't have some kind of attitude change. I'd probably just be even more fired up, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think the great thing is, you know, excuse me, there have been rumors about Zion trying to get a new contract and everything, but I do think that, you know, maybe they extend him, maybe they don't. But regardless, I do think they probably view Morrison as the long-term starter at cornerback, whether he replaces Dean or McCollum, because they could theoretically bring either one of them back, or they could just say sayonara to both of them and then draft a cornerback in the first round or something, which would be fine as well.
I want your honest opinion to piggyback off that a little bit. What are your thoughts on Zion going after a new contract?
Well, I mean, from like go get your money kind of thing, like, yeah, go for it. You know, like, everyone's going to try to get a new contract. Does he deserve a new contract? Like, do they need to be paying him the amount of money that he would likely get? Like, no, I don't know.
See, that's where my head's at. I think that he's smarter to play another season. I get it. It's his last year of his contract. I understand. Don't want to go out there, get hurt, and then that ends your career. I get it from a player standpoint. Mm-hmm. From a front office's standpoint, there's no way I'm signing him off of last year. And if I sign him off of last year, he's not going to be getting top 32 quarterback or cornerback money, like, just because he played really good and really bad. So how do I know what version of that I'm getting? You go out there and put another great season together, or put a great season together, even an above average season, you're getting paid good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's sort of the risk you run, right? Because, like, if you sign him now, you probably can get him for a good amount below what you would have to pay for him if he went out and had a solid season. If he goes out and has a solid season and you haven't signed him to a contract extension, I think he's gone. Like, you're not going to be able to get him. He's probably going to be relatively expensive, because we're seeing how much, you know, Carlton Davis is getting paid. You know what I mean?
So it doesn't count.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. But that's a great question, because I don't like we would have to bring on Joshua Quapo for that. He would have a much better answer. He has been, I don't know if y'all, shout out Josh, he's great. He has been on the mark with a bunch of contracts. It's very, like, eerily, like, whoa, like, you are, you know, premonitions type thing.
Yeah, my Twitter was hacked, so I've not been on Twitter in a very long time. Oh,
I apologize. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a bummer. But yeah, he's great. We've had him on the show before, and I would love to have him back on the show. We'll have to reach out to him. But he's phenomenal. And he's been on the money. So I would love to hear his thoughts on it. But Musab, how about you? What are your, when you read that Zion was trying to get a new contract, were you excited? Were you like, why is this happening? Or somewhere in the middle? What are your thoughts?
I mean, if he wants to go, he can go. I mean, it's not like I'm going to be, you know, like, I'm going to miss him or anything. But, I mean, it's kind of just what Zach said. You know, I need to see a little bit more to, you know, really be like, oh, wow, dang, you know, Bucks kind of missed on that. Or, you know, they should have worked with him or something. But sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think we're in agreement on this. Definitely not – like, I wouldn't be, you know, distraught or disgusted if they re-signed him to an extension. But I'm also kind of like –
Depends on what that extension is. If they come out and tell me they gave him $20 million a year for him to, like, then
yeah, that would be bonkers. Like,
you are dumb. Why would you do that?
Yeah, that would be crazy.
They got him for $8 million a year. I'd be like, okay. Yeah.
There are worse things to spend $8 million in NFL salary on.
100%.
So, you know, it could be a lot worse. But yeah, like you said, it just depends on the terms. It depends on what they agree to, which that's the thing. If they're trying for that, I don't think that they extend him. Like, I don't think he agrees to that, which, you know, rightfully so. You want to bet on yourself, but we'll see how it all shakes out. If you're looking to extend your wardrobe options, if you're looking at your clothes and you want to get like Musab Tariq, who is rocking some RBLR gear. Yes. Stand up, show it off for the folks.
The OG dream team. Yeah.
That's right, the Team USA gear.
If you think our cornerback room is like the dream team.
Oh, man, I don't want to do that to the dream team. I like
don't do that because then no one's going to jump on here.
Oh, man. But, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. You can type in Canon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S, for 10% off your entire order. Definitely check it out. We've got some fire gear for all Tampa Bay sports-related outcomes. So definitely head on over there. But we're reaching the second half of our episode, and this is what y'all have all been waiting for. Enough Bucks talk, you know, even though this is a Bucks show. But we're going to be talking about linebackers. We've been doing this top 10 series throughout the offseason, and we're finally at the linebacker spot, which is fitting because we were talking about Shavasia Dennis and Lavonte David, who we'll see if he makes anyone's list because he had a rough year last year, but he's also Lavonte David. So we will get things started with the bottom of the list, and I'll come out and I'll own it. I put Lavonte David at 10. I was the one that put him on there. I know I'm a homer. What am I doing? Like, Lavonte David was pretty bad last year, but he was still very good in run defense. He was atrocious in coverage. I get it, but he had tied for seventh most stops, and he was really grading out pretty well as a run defender. He was also a pretty good pass rusher. He was third in total pressures for linebackers. You know, you kind of take the good with the bad with David. And also, he's a Buck. Like, if you have a chance to include a Buck on a list, I kind of wanted to get him on there. So, you know, maybe a little bit of personal bias in there as well. But I had Lavonte David at 10. So then we also have TJ Edwards. Someone put him at 10 as well. Quincy Williams also came in at 10 on someone's list. Nick Bolton came in at 8 on someone's list, did not rank on anyone else's. And then Nakobe Dean came in on 7th on someone's list, was not included in anyone else's. So from that list, was there anyone that y'all wanted to kind of shout out or focus on other than Lavonte David, of course? Zach, who's the linebacker that you kind of want to pound the table for, or at least support from the
team? I'm supporting TJ Edwards a little bit. He had a rough 2024, not taking that away from him. It was the lowest of his career at a 60.7 overall grade.
Yeah, that's not great.
It was bad. There's no doubt about it. But he posted a 74 plus PFF grade over the first 3 years of his over the all three major facets previously. Mm. And he was actually – he charted the 93rd percentile in box coverage grade of the 80.9. He's been a stud in coverage, and he's not bad in run defense. So I think – if we can get him back to, I say we, if the Bears can get him back to where he was, I think that he has a legitimate shot to be top five next season. I know it's crazy, but right now I got him at 10. I think he deserves a little bit of love, especially I love Lavonte David, but over Lavonte David.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Yeah, and this is what the 8 or 7 through 10 spots, or even the 6 through 10 spots, honestly.
Yeah, really, you're not wrong.
Yeah, like it's kind of hard to, as long as you're not like putting, you know, Kyle Trask as the 10th best quarterback in the NFL or something like that. Like, these are defensible picks for sure. Like, we're all kind of giving shout outs to guys that maybe deserve some love, maybe we think are underrated. So yeah, TJ Edwards, definitely a good shout. I always thought it was interesting that the Bears gave him and Edmonds as much money as they did, because the linebacker position can be a bit of a squishy one when it comes to impact, especially with that kind of money. But yeah, definitely deserving of a shout out. But Musab, how about you? What player on this list did you kind of think, hey, let me give him some love in this episode?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to give I got to go Quincy Williams and Nick Bolton, but just Quincy Williams, I just feel like he sneaked in at 10. I had actually Lavonte David in my honorable mention, but I just feel like, I mean, he's kind of been everywhere. I mean, he's been very consistent since 2022, and I mean, he's racked up tackles for loss. So I just wanted to, you know, give the Jets some love as well, because him and forgetting his first name, Sherwood, they got a little dynamic duo action going on over there.
Is it
so
Jamie Sherwood?
It's James something Sherwood. Yeah. So anyways, but I do want to kind of go a little bit deeper on Nick Bolton and give him his flowers. I got him at number 8 just because I feel like he is kind of – he just reminds me of kind of like the, I don't want to say he's the heart of Kansas City's defense, but the thing is that, you know, Kansas City, especially with their defensive coordinator, Steve Beck Spagnuolo, I was actually did a little bit of reading on this but it's just more because Nick Bolton excels in, you know, a system that places heavy coverage. And I mean, he's been just all around. I mean, he had that iconic, you know, game ceiling Super Bowl turnover. He hasn't been the same since then, but I mean, he's been all around. 4 seasons, he had 3 of them with 100 plus tackles. He was
absolutely
second in the NFL back in 2022. I know it's been a while now, but I'm just saying, he still got it. And he just signed a fat contract. So, you know, Chiefs got that, you know, they're committed to him, and I think he's committed to them. So I just feel like he's, you know, he's still got it. So that's why I wanted to, you know, put him at 8.
Absolutely.
So I gotta check with you real quick, Carter, because Musab, I agree with you on everything you said about Nick Bolton. I think that he was right there, top 10. Like, he was a hard one for me to leave off the list. He was in my honorable mentions for sure.
Same.
Nakobe Dean at 7.
Yeah, I know. Carter. I know. It's a bit wild. He definitely has had his ups and downs to start his career, but and I don't know, the Zach Bond contract, get them giving him as much money as they did is a bit of a confidence shaker in Nakobe Dean and what they think of him. But I don't know, he was pretty good last year. I know he was lined up next to Zach Bond, and he also was playing on like one of the best defenses of the 21st century. Like, that was a crazy, crazy team. So like,
where did he grade out? Were his grades? And that's a serious question. I didn't look into Nakobe Dean at all. I love Nakobe Dean in like a Yeah, when I play Madden, right. I love N'Kobe Dean on my team.
Right.
But I just don't remember hearing much from him last year, so that's why I was a little surprised to see him at seven. I respect it.
Right. No, I mean, it's definitely a valid question because, you know, you want everyone to support their hypothesis. I don't remember the exact rankings. I just remember his name popped a little bit for me.
Okay.
Spots. I'm looking now because I should have written it down. I literally wrote down everyone else except for Kobe Dean, of course, because that's always how it works out. Let's see, because his name was on here. Yeah, he was seventh in overall defensive grades on PFF.
Okay.
Among qualified guys. So I figured like seven, I know not to just go off of PFF exclusively. Like, trust me, yeah. Lavonte David was not 10th in overall PFF. Ooh,
God, no.
Yeah, not even close. So I kind of wanted to try to mix him in because, man, that Eagles defense was so good. So giving him a shout out as well as, you know, Zach Bond didn't feel like super far fetched to me, but I definitely understand maybe not being super gung ho about putting him seventh. Like, that is maybe a bit of a stretch, but you know, it's
I respect it. I love him as a player. I think that he on another team would be much higher ranked. I think because he's with the team he's with, for me, anyway, like I could think Zach Bond, obviously, we'll talk about him later. Mm-hmm. And then you've got that defensive line, just that whole defense in general was studly. So it's like, I don't even remember hearing N'Kobe Dean's name come up very often last year.
No, and that's kind of why I wanted to include him a little bit. Because, like, you know, he could be a little bit overwhelmed or overlooked. And, you know, he's a good player. Like, he might not be Zach Bond. He might not be Fred Warner. We'll get to those guys. But I thought he was at least – he could very well be interchangeable with Nick Bolton as well as, like, other honorable mentions that didn't quite make my list. So I kind of wanted to put him in the list, and I was like, oh, well, I'll put him at seven. You know, I'll be a little bit bold. So I was trying to mix things up a little bit. But we'll get to the next portion of our list, which is Edrian Cooper, DeMario Davis, Frankie Louvu from the Commanders, and Dre Greenlaw, who popped up fourth on someone's list, which I thought was really interesting because no one else had him ranked, but I also had DeMario Davis fifth, and no one else had him ranked either. I know he's a Saint. We don't want to be giving Saints players any love, but he had the seventh lowest passer rating allowed. He's always been a pretty decent run defender. I don't know. I tried to give some veterans some love because linebacker is such kind of a tricky position, not quite cornerback level. Like, you never know who's going to actually pop up on these lists, but definitely a little bit less sticky than, say, wide receiver or quarterback or whatnot. So I wanted to give DeMario Davis some love because he's been around for so long. Like, he's just been a mainstay of that Saints defense. So I put him at fifth. But were there any other – Zach, I wanted to ask you about – you're the Dre Greenlaw fellow, right? I wanted to let you have the floor to give your defense of Dre
Greenlaw. So, I mean, if we're going off just last season, obviously – he wouldn't be ranked that high. He has been an integral piece of several very good teams. When he was with the Niners, he was a stud. So coming over to Denver, he played, 34 snaps last year, something along those lines, like not very much at all. But before his injury, he was one of the best coverage linebackers in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. He was legit.
I think that if he can get back to that, I think four will be too low if he can get back to that level in a Denver defense that has the reigning NFL defensive player of the year. They just drafted another really good corner. I think that team could be really, really scary defensively. If it's led by Dre Greenlaw, that just makes it even scarier. So this is I guess I'd say this is more of a projection than where he's at right now, obviously, because being injured, I understand why no one would put – like, you didn't hear his name at all last season. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a recency bias, and I get that 100%. But, you know, when you have an 88.9 PFF coverage grade over the last seasons, you're a really good linebacker and a very good coverage linebacker.
Yeah, I think what – kept him off my list for like you mentioned, he just wasn't there last year. Uh-huh. And it's he had a torn Achilles, right? Like, that was
that's tough.
That is tough. And like you said, his peak is high enough to where if he returns even close to where he once was, he will be a lock for this list next year.
Yeah,
pretty much with flying colors. But it's just tough, man. Like trying to project a little bit, it is tough with the Achilles injury. But I'm glad someone had him on this list because like you said, if he gets back to even close to being where he was.
Was this one an Achilles injury? Because I know he.
Yeah, well, he just had a quad injury a couple of days ago. That's.
It was an Achilles injury.
It was Achilles.
Ago, wasn't it? And then.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it was another Achilles injury. I know he had
the Super Bowl. Yeah, he got the Achilles. And
tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's sort of what was tough because I think he missed most of last year because of it, right? Like
he got hurt in training camp, I thought.
Oh God! Oh yeah. Man! So he had back to back injuries. That's garbage. Yeah. That's rough. But like you said, if he can return back to even a little bit of that form, you know, that could be really interesting. But Musab, I wanted to get your thoughts because you had Frankie Louvu. We each kind of had a random guy in the middle of our list that no one else had. And I love that because we're getting as many different people in these lists as possible. So Frankie Louvu, what went into your thought process when putting him at five, Musab?
Yeah, I wanted to go a little bit different, man. And I feel like, you know, he's finally getting, you know, the respect he deserves. You know, he's got a really interesting story, but I mean, violent hitter, but also versatile. I mean, he can rush, he can cover, stuff to run, all that kind of stuff. And I feel like, you know, Washington's already, if they have not already, given him a bigger role. And I mean, even ESPN, the executives, you know, when they had to give their little top 10 ranking, they actually had Frankie Louvu at number 5. Not that I was following these NFL executives. Right. Believe me, I'm very anti-NFL executive. Yeah, sure. But, okay, that sounded really bad. But no. This, you know, the guy, you know, he's first of all, the journey, you know, from like undrafted free agent. Now he's a foundational, like, defensive piece. If we're looking even stats-wise, he's the only player with 200-plus snaps in pass rush, run defense, and coverage in 2024. So just absolute animal. And I feel like, you know, he's one of my kind of, you know, like potential, you know, ball out, you know, only so much we've seen in the past. But I mean, I think he's due for a big year. But Carter, I did want to throw it back to you because you and I both had Edgerrin Cooper at number 9.
That was me.
Yeah, Zach had a drink.
That was you. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Zach, talk to me, man. You know, I just feel like I got high hopes for Edgerrin Cooper as well. Young guy. I think he's going to go off this season. I know he played, you know, didn't play much last year because of the hamstring injury. But, I mean, he had 13 tackles for loss in his rookie year, which was most by any Green Bay rookie since – Clay Matthews, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I have him on number 9.
Yeah, so I have him at 9 because, again, dealing with injuries. He only played just over 500 snaps his rookie this year. Was the second player to have 74-plus in all PFF, in the major defensive grades. And from week 15 to the end of the season, after he was fully healthy, he was the highest scoring overall linebacker with a 91.3 grade. I think that he is a future star. And I just honestly, thinking about it now.
He even led the team with 10 special team tackles.
Yeah, I think 9 might be too low.
Ooh, all right. Oh. Maybe you want to rework your list a little bit.
I think
you need to call your boy Dre Greenlaw and say, hey, we're making a little switcheroo.
Word, fair enough. I definitely liked Edgerrin Cooper, but like y'all said, with the injury stuff, it's tough. And like I said, I wanted to include Levante David, but Edgerrin Cooper, definitely great shout out. Like he playing on that Packers defense, he could be really interesting. He could make some noise for sure. But yeah, getting back to that Frankie Louvu thing, that his versatility, I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful metric, like lined up 200 plus snaps in all those different places. That's fantastic. That's really fun. I really like that. Those are the sort of the middle of the pack, and we're getting towards the upper tier. We'll go to our next four players. We got Devin Lloyd, who came in at 6 on a couple of our lists and didn't come up at all in someone's. And then Jack Campbell, who was kind of near the bottom of all three of our lists. Bobby Okereke, please forgive me, Bobby. He came in at the bottom of most of our lists. And then Roquan Smith, he came in around the middle. We all had him either fourth or fifth. So any guy who was the guy, was that Zach that had, no, it was Musab. You didn't have Devin Lloyd. So what's, let me give you some defense of Devin Lloyd first. Cause he was fourth in run defense grade, sixth in total. And he had the lowest missed tackle rate, which I thought was really cool. He just wraps up and he does not let go. But give me a defense of one of the other guys that maybe you included in, instead of Devin Lloyd.
Yeah, I mean, well, I know we had a couple of similarities, but for example, like, I mean, I had like Jack Campbell.
Jack Campbell really
took a big step. I mean, guys, there's a lot of other, I think, worthy honorable mentions. And I mean, Devin Lloyd was my, you know, one of my worthy honorable mentions. Same thing with Drake, same thing with Levante David. But yeah, Jack Campbell, massive step forward his second season, you know, got 78.7 PFF overall grade, ranking fourth, you know, among linebackers with like 600 snaps. And I mean, just, I just feel like, you know, he's just due for another big year. He's always been a, you know, like a plus run defender. And I mean, I don't know what else to say. He's just another vital piece on that Lions, you know, on that Lions defense.
Yeah, so, and they needed him.
Wasn't someone I thought about at first. Exactly. You know, everyone's all eyes are on, you know, Aiden Hutchinson, for example. But
right,
you know, it's, you know, you can't be sleeping on even Alex Anzalone. Shout out to him from the Lions as well.
That's right. Yeah, Alex Anzalone. He's been an underrated part of a lot of pretty good linebacking groups. He was with the Saints for a while with Pete Warner and DeMario Davis. That's a good shout out for sure. Jack Campbell, yeah, I think I had him a little bit lower than y'all, but not by much. Like, in those 6 through 10 areas, it can get a little bit like, well, you know, what's really the difference between the 9th best linebacker and the 7th best linebacker? Like, it's a pretty slim margin. But I wanted to give a shout out to Roquan Smith, because I think he kind of had a bit of a down year for Roquan Smith this past season. But like, man, if he has like a Roquan Smith season again this year, he could very well be competing with Fred Warner for number one, because I always thought of him and Fred Warner as sort of one and two, but then you kind of take a deeper look at it and he had a bit of a down year last year. So Zach, give me something on Roquan Smith. Do you think he can maybe jump back up into the top two this next season, or what were your thoughts when you thought about
it? Yeah, I mean, his overall grade was, if you just look at it off the top, it's a 66.8. That right. It was a really bad year in terms of Roquan Smith. If you look at it past week 11, when Kyle Hamilton returned back to just safety, it jumped up to an 81.8 coverage grade, and then that was fourth best in the position. I think you give him a full season where he can play Roquan Smith football, and you're going to have the old Roquan Smith. I don't think using him as just run support with Kyle Hamilton kind of dropping down in that sub linebacker spot is a good idea. And I think that the Ravens found that out after they moved him back in week 11. So I think it was more of a system thing and not a Roquan thing. And that's not any hate on the Ravens. I think the Ravens are a super smart team with what they do. But sure. I think they clicked for them. They realized it. And I expect a bounce back here from Roquan.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I very much expect Roquan to be Roquan again, because when he's doing his thing, when he's utilized properly, when he's healthy, like, he is one of the best in the business at this position for sure. Which brings us to our final three, who we actually thought were the best at this position. We were completely unanimous across the board. 1, 2, 3. It's in this order: Fred Warner at one, Zach Bond at two, and Bobby Wagner at three. So I hate to kind of just sit around and say, wow, look at these guys, they're so great. Like, but Bobby Wagner for me was a huge surprise, because I think once he signed with Washington, like, after he left Seattle for the second time, it was kind of like, well, it's Bobby Wagner. Like, how much does he have left in the tank? And then, man, he looked really good this past year. Like, fourth lowest reception percentage, second lowest missed tackle percentage among qualified linebackers. Like, really, really good year for Bobby Wagner. Can he replicate that this season? I don't know. But I had to give respect to one of the best linebackers of the 21st century for, like, just having sort of a renaissance on a team that really needed him, because like that defense, their offense was elite. Like, Jaden Daniels, awesome. And Terry McLaurin, who, weird contract situation, but you know, that offense was their strong suit, and the defense was kind of like the, you know, catching up. And Bobby Wagner played a really big part in that. So, Zach, what were your thoughts on these top three? I know I kind of just spouted the praise of Bobby Wagner. Did you have anything for the other two guys? Or maybe you want to keep the Bobby Wagner hype train going?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes without saying Fred Warner is just Fred Warner. Like, he is – I think he is a clear-cut number one, where all these other positions, we've had one or two that we like, you could flip them and it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think if you came up to me and said you put Zach Bond at one – and Fred Warner at two, I would want to fight you and respectfully want to fight you. I wouldn't like hurt you, but we'd slap box at least.
Okay.
But when it comes to, I think the biggest thing for me is having Zach Bond at two, because before last year, nobody would have said Zach Bond's name in the top 20 linebackers.
He's borderline rosterable. Like, he's not even
exactly,
like,
exactly. Yeah. So for him to come to Philly, because he was with the Saints before, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. right?
And he was a pass rusher.
Yep.
Exactly. So yeah. For him to come to Philly and have a 90.1 overall PFF grade.
Insane stuff. Yeah.
Just was a stud. He came and got a $51 million contract. Like, would we have ever expected that out of him a year and a half ago?
No.
Not a shot. Not so much. I think seeing him in the right system, I don't think that he is a system player. But I think having him in a system where he can play what he should play, it's kind of like the Roquan Smith thing, except the Saints are dumb and can't figure that out. So the Ravens figured it out. The Saints, they're a little slow. So I think seeing him do that, like, that, he's my favorite person on this list because of that.
Absolutely.
Seeing the step that he took is just insane.
And I'm not going to lie, if he has another year where he plays like he did this past year, we're going to have some conversations because
agreed.
Based on purely 2024 production alone, Zach Bond was the best linebacker in football. But he has that one season, and you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater with Fred.
And that's my struggle with it, because I, like, in my head, I'm like, there's no way I could put him one. But if you were to just go off last season, he would be number one, and it wouldn't even really be close. It would be the opposite, like, where we're like, if you put Fred Warner over – Bond after last season, like, we're going to throw hands a little bit. Having him, if he has another season like this, I think that $51 million they signed him for is going to be one of the steals of the contracts in recent history.
For sure. Although I read something, sorry, we're getting a little off track here, but I read something on Twitter that said Baker Mayfield has the best contract in football right now, which I do not disagree with.
I don't disagree at all.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. But a little shout out to Baker while we're talking about linebackers. But Musab, how about you, man? What were your thoughts on these top three? Was there any temptation to maybe get Zach Bond the number one spot, or were you kind of like, hey, let's slow our roll? What was your thought process when making
this? Well, if I say yes, I feel like Zach Blaine is going to come on over here and give me hit me as hard as Zach Bond or something. Yeah, I mean, no. I'm kind of I went Fred Warner one, and then Zach Bond two. I mean, we have 1, 2, 3, but. Yeah, first of all, just you got to give respect to the OG. I mean, Bobby Wagner, he's only missed a handful of games in 14 seasons. People call him the coach on the field, just absolute dog. He doesn't age, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again, you know. But
if only.
But no, Zach Bond, he deserves his flowers. I got a buddy who's also a big Eagles fan, and I mean, he's been just yapping about it, and then. He, you know, kind of got me on the Zach Bond train, he broke out in a huge way. This is what I'm thinking is, like, just perfect definition of just, you know, the system was just not right for him before, and it's just, you know, it's an organizational fit kind of issue, and just, oh, my God, I mean, run stop win rate was the best in the league, 117 tackles, 8 sacks, 13 for loss. I mean, yeah, he's getting for a reason. And I just feel like, I mean, after this, I feel like, yeah, I mean, this is, it's not the Zach Bond show, but, you know, now that he's getting paid, it's kind of like, you know, look, the Eagles are saying, hey, we're counting on you. And I think Bond's like, hey, I'm, you know, counting on you as well to, you know, take care of me and get me right. And that's exactly what they did. So
you said the Zach Bond show. I think given another year like this last year. The NFL linebacker room will be the Zach Bond show.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and Zach Vaughn, man, just
a heck of a story. We can all get ZB keychains and then pretend it says Zach Blaine instead.
Right? That's right. That's right. He'll share. Yeah. We'll share the initials with.
If Zach Vaughn wins Defensive Player of the Year, I promise you, Zach Blaine and Carter, I'll buy you guys and myself. I'll make personal Zach Vaughn keychains. You have.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. We'll turn into RBLR ZB for Zach.
Just Vaughn. ZB. Yeah. It's just gonna say ZB. I'm not gonna have it. It's not gonna be an Eagles theme.
Fair
enough, I want his face on it though. All right. ZB with his face in the middle.
Yeah, R-Z-B-L-R. There you go. Yeah, we could do RZBLR, our producer. Just shot
maybe we can just start just reaching out to Zach Vaughn like psychos, and maybe he'll come on our show for a minute or two before we play the Eagles. A little preview. Right.
Yeah,
Zach versus Zach. ZB versus ZB.
Ooh. Yeah, exactly.
And then you can put him on the hot spot, Zach. All right, I'm getting carried away with this.
Right. I don't know if anyone wants to slapbox with Zach Vaughn. He looks like a big fella. Yeah, I probably wouldn't want to do that.
But if he rates himself above right. Fred Warner right now,
yeah.
I'm a man of my word, all right?
Fair enough. But, we're coming here towards the end of our episode. We hope you all have enjoyed our tomfoolery and our shenanigans. We will be back next week after the Bucks preseason game. Whether it's a loss or a win, it doesn't really matter, but we'll have some insights, you know, maybe some things that popped. I'm sure there'll be a play or two that makes the highlight reel or something like that.
Any prediction, any bold, you know, for anything for our game or anything, like, you know, Benjamin Morrison pick six or something.
I don't even know who all's playing, so I can't.
Yeah, that's the tough
thing. I don't know if Benjamin Morrison's even going to get to play. Like, that's kind of where my head's at.
Where's Jordan McLeod? I wanted him to be the Bucks, like, preseason quarterback story. You know, like,
he's not even on the depth chart, is he?
No, I don't think he's on any team at all. Like, I think he's just out in the wind. But, I'm not super excited for Kyle Trask, but I'm excited for everyone else. Like, that should be fun. Do you have any bold takes or bold prediction for the week one preseason game, Musa?
Oh, man. I mean, Zach's got me thinking now that, who is going to play?
Right.
I had like Benjamin Morrison pick six. I had, Elijah Roberts.
Hey,
a couple of sacks.
Yeah.
No, but on the real though, I am actually curious to see. I mean, I don't hate Sean Tucker. I don't need to see Sean Tucker right now, okay?
Right.
I'm curious to see what this Josh Williams and Owen Wright got going on. And also, shout out to fellow PHU alumni Jacob Harris, who's in the wide receiver room. I hope he gets some kind of action. But
that's right.
Yeah, now, Zach, now you got me thinking. I'm probably going to check, and I got to do a little bit of research before I start looking like an idiot in front of people. Like, oh, my God, bro, hey, bro, want to come over to my house and watch Jacob Parrish and Benjamin Morrison absolutely demolish the Titans?
You mean you're not putting, like, an eight-leg parlay on this Bucks-Titans?
Oh, my gosh, man.
Preseason
game? No, I wish.
No. Well. No. Anyways, check back in with us next week. Maybe we'll have a 10-leg parlay for the week two preseason game, whenever that is. Definitely check back in with us next week. We'll see y'all then. Thank y'all for sticking with us, and thank you to my wonderful co-host for making my job easy. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.